Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I'm joined now in the studio by Eoin Magee, author and presenter of How to Be Good with Money, to talk about life assurance and in particular these whole of life policies that some people have been running into difficulty with. And if you've any questions for Eoin, get them in 51551. You can email todaycb@rte.ie. Eoin, we're doing this on foot of people getting in touch with us saying that they have issues with this. And I know it comes up from time to time. Where do you start, though, with this? What are these policies that people are having trouble with, the main?
Okay, so the first thing just to flag to people is 99%, most policies that have been taken out in the last 10, maybe even 20 years, aren't these type of policies. The whole of life policies are these old policies. If you took out a policy in the 90s, 80s, 90s, and you still have it, it's most likely one of these whole of life policies. Or your parents might have one, or you might have one. And the difference with them is that policies that are standard today that you take out today are a bit like car insurance. You take them out for 20 years. If you die in the 20 years, they pay out. If you don't die, they don't pay out and the life company keeps all your money. And that's just, it's just insurance. Whereas with these whole of life policies, they were sold on the basis that you pay in the premium today and it'll cover you for the rest of your life. Which meant when you were taken out, I know at some stage there's going to be a payout on this. And the problem with them was is that they were designed in such a way that in the early years, and let's just make up numbers to try and make the maths very simple. Imagine you were asked back in 1985 to pay in 100 euros a month, which was a huge amount of money. But just to keep the maths simple, 100 euros a month. The company looked at you and said, we're going to take 100 euros a month off you. Now, we know the cost to us of the life cover right now is 30 euros a month. And we're going to take the 70 euro difference and we're going to put it into a pot. And in the early years, we're going to build up the pot. So in the later years, when the cost of the cover goes up and up and up, we're going to dip into the pot to maintain the cover. Mm-hmm. So that's what the objective of these policies were. And typically they set them up to say, if everything goes right, this is going to be grand and we'll review it again in 15 or 20 years time. When they came to review them, what they found was a couple of things. First of all, the maths that they used just meant that the cost of the cover, you were still paying 100 euros a month, but the cost of the cover was like 120 or 150, and they were dipping into the pot much sooner than the company expected to have to. Or else they assumed that they were going to do, the pot was going to be invested and do really well, and it didn't do really well. Or the other thing that happened was people dipped into them and took them out to go on holidays or to pay for an emergency or to do because they thought it was like a savings, that the pot was a savings pot, but it was there to cover the life cover. And you're left in a position now where people who are often now in their 60s and often 70s, they're getting letters to say, we've reviewed your policy and if you continue to pay the cover, if you want to keep the same cover, we're going to have to dramatically increase the amount you pay every month.
And that's when people are getting into their retirement years and can't afford it.
Yeah.
So I just want to bring you this letter which we had, which details exactly what you've outlined there. My mum and dad, said this listener, have a life assurance policy since 1986. At the time, they were told when they reached the age of 65, they could either cash it in or get a loan against the policy. But that turned out not to be the case. The payment started out at 13 Irish pounds a month. They increased annually, but in the last 10 years, they've dramatically increased. The benefits stand at 67,000 for each parent. So if one member of the couple dies, that's what the other gets. But the monthly payments are 501 euros. Now, the couple are on the state pension. Mm. They can't afford to pay this, but if they stop, the benefit disappears.
Yes.
So what do they do? I mean, this is causing problems, you know, within the family because, you know, the children have differing views on what should be done, differing views within the couple. And it's just really, really stressful.
It's really hard. And if you think about that couple there who were paying that 501 euros a month, they've been paying that since 1986. And they paid it on the basis, if we die, this cover is going to be paid out. It feels awful just to say, I'm going to stop paying into it now. You feel like you've lost all of that money that you've paid in. You have paid for insurance along the way. And to be honest with you, I'd love to know what the conversation was like in 1986. I'd love to know what their interpretation of where they were going. They thought at 65 years of age to be able to cash it in. I wonder what they thought they were going to cash it in for. And that's been taken, how much is left in the pot.
Well, they're saying they were told that they could cash it in or get a loan against the policy.
And a loan against the policy is an interesting one because there were companies kind of 15, 20 years ago who used to go around buying up these policies. So what they would say is they'd say, oh, you don't want to pay it anymore. We'll take it over. They'd do the maths on it and say, yeah, it's worth our while taking it up because if you die in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, we're going to be quids in here. And those companies, I haven't seen them around a long time. What happens a lot now is either people just stop paying the premiums altogether, they just walk away from it. And they say, you know what, I'm just not going to have this policy. I'm going to walk away from the last 20, 30 years of premiums. Or what they will do is they will sometimes continue to pay the same level of premium. So they'll pay the same amount each month, but the level of cover will reduce dramatically.
Yeah, they tried that. They said that they tried to freeze the payments, but the benefits would drop to 51,000 for each of them and it would continue to drop every year.
Yes.
They've tried to contact the provider. The attitude was taken, you either pay the premiums or you cancel the policy with no cash return after 35 years of premiums paid.
And you know what? It feels awful. And I completely understand. And I'm not going to defend the companies. The problem is that the companies can defend themselves. When you look at the policy terms and conditions on these things back from 1986, this was outlined. Whether it was clear or not, whether they'd understood it or not, is a completely different question.
What would you do in that situation, or what would you advise if that couple was coming to you?
The first thing I would do is I would turn around to the parents. If the parents were my clients, I would be saying to them, look, this is not for your benefit. This is for the benefit of the kids. Sit down with the kids and ask the kids, do they want this 67,000 euros worth of cover? And if they do, the kids need to step up. Now, there's tax implications for the kids paying the policy premiums and everything else, but this is not for their benefit. These are people who are on state pension trying to find 500 euros a month in order to benefit their kids. And no doubt they love their kids, but it's not for them and they shouldn't be suffering it. And there is the whole issue of the sunk cost fallacy where they've put so much money into this that they feel they can't walk away
from
it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The older you get, the less you need life cover. Life cover is supposed to be there to cover all the salary you haven't earned yet if you die early. So if you've 10 years to go to retirement and you're on 50 grand a year, there's 510 by 50, there's 500,000 euros of salary you haven't earned that if you died tomorrow morning, your family weren't going to get. That's what life cover is supposed to be protecting. Mm-hmm. Now, as you're getting into your 60s, there's nobody reliant on their income anymore. So I would be having a serious question with them is, who are you doing this for? Because it's not for you. And if the kids really want you to keep it up, I'm sorry, but the kids need to step up and they need to get tax advice on how they can do that in a tax efficient way. But the kids want it, they need to step up, because I'll be honest, you're banging your head against a brick wall. The companies are going to stand behind the policy terms and conditions. It's incredibly unfair. It feels incredibly unfair, but they're the terms and conditions that people signed up
to. Have you ever seen it where the company might do something for people in this situation?
I have seen when people like you highlight this issue from time to time, you do see where they give another option and they say, and I haven't seen it in a while, maybe it is out there, and if people have got this option, it'd be great if they text in. But I've seen an option where they've said, you know what, we'll let you walk away from this policy and we'll let you take out one of the standard policies that most people have taken out in the last 10 years. You'll get a set amount of cover. There'll be no confusion with a pot underneath it or a fund underneath it. And we'll give it to you for a 10-year period and the premium will be X, and we'll promise you it won't stay. It will stay the same. You pay the premiums then of 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. And I have seen that happen before. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things. That's where the question you want to ask your provider there is, will you allow me convert to a term assurance policy?
Okay, will you allow me convert to a term assurance policy? Another one here, just to warn people taking out life assurance. My husband and I both took life assurance out in 1984 for a cover of 30,000 guaranteed death benefit on each life. We're now 69 and 75. Our premium doesn't cover us for what we expected. Our benefit is now worth about 3,000 euro each. You're not surprised to hear this, I can see by your face, Owen. We could pay a higher premium to maintain our benefit, but this amount is prohibitive for pensioners. We've taken this matter up with our provider, but the bottom line is, read the small print. And this person is asking, is there any redress? There isn't.
I'm going to be honest with you, it's just such an awful position for people to find themselves in. And the problem with it is that you can deal with it today, and in 2 years' time or 5 years' time, they review it again. Depending on your terms and conditions, they'll review it again and you can fix it now. And I think on that first text, they were saying every 2 years, they're coming back looking for an extra 100 euros a month. Like, that's not unusual. So you think you fixed the problem. If you want to fix the problem and you make a decision as a family, and this is a family decision, if you make a family decision to hold on to this policy, I would ask your provider to give you the longest term possible. Say to them, I want to know what the premium is required to maintain this for the next 10 or 15 or 20. They should be able to do those maths for you. And the maths are much more conservative now than they were in 1986.
Owen, it's a really tricky situation and it's really difficult for families, isn't it? Especially if you've been paying into something for over 30 years. Now, how to be good with money? You're looking for people.
You're looking for subjects.
So
this year, what we're looking for is, obviously, we're halfway through filming, but we're looking for people. We're going to do some money hubs around the country. We're looking for people to come into the money hubs ask me a question on camera and then I will answer it on camera.
What's a money hub?
What's a money? It's a bit, you know, like a photo booth at a wedding.
Yeah.
You're going to sit into one of them and you're going to ask me a question. That's, in simple terms, that's what it is. So if people are interested in getting involved and looking for questions from all around the country, if people are interested in getting involved, send your question to money@indiepics.ie. That's I-N-D-I-E-P-I-C-S.
Okay. Owen McGee appearing at a wedding near you in his money booth. Owen, thanks very much for coming in. That's just about all we have time for today. Many thanks for listening. Today's programme was produced by Rachel Graham, research by Niamh Lyons. Our broadcast coordinator is Louise Kerr-Ross and Liam Mullen was on sound. I'll be back with you on RT1 television tonight at 10:35 with Claire Byrne Live. We will have dogs in studio, but the question we'll be asking is, should they be allowed into the post-pandemic office? Angus McAnally, who you'll know of course, will say a resounding no, but I'll also hear from people who really like the idea. And Katie Hannon will join me with a disturbing new story of sexual assault in the army following on from her brilliant Women of Honour radio documentary. That's all tonight on RTE1 television at 10:35. I do hope that you can join me then. Now though, just coming up to 12 midday, it's time to get the tunes, maybe some more Mike Denver on the cards from Roland Collins.